Welcome to the show. It's always a treat to have a guest with me in the studio, especially one who's not only an old colleague of mine, but someone who's an expert on something I don't know much about. And that person today is the singer and scholar Sally Dunkley, who's made a really valuable contribution to the revival of one of Tudor England's more shadowy figures, the church composer John Shepherd. Wow, an amazing sound. The 16 directed by Harry Christophers with Libera Nos by the 16th century English composer John Shepherd, whose music we're exploring throughout today's programme with the help of my studio guest, Sally Dunkley. Many thanks for joining me, Sally.
That's a pleasure.
Now, you've always had a great enthusiasm for Shepherd's music over many years. And in fact, I know you've also sung a lot of it too, haven't you?
Yes, that's right. Yes. And I was in that last track that you just heard.
Do you think it was through singing that you sort of really came to love his music? I mean, how did it happen?
Yes, very much through singing it and through meeting Shepherd's music, through being around at the right time in my student days in Oxford, when David Woolston in particular was looking into Shepherd's music. David Woolston at that point was a lecturer at Magdalen College, Oxford, the same place that Shepherd himself had been 400 odd years earlier. So we presented in concert lots of music by Shepherd that may well not have been heard there or indeed anywhere for most of that intervening time.
I mean, that's interesting, isn't it? Because, you know, we've revived Tallis's music and Bird's music. I mean, what happened to Shepherd? Why did he get left off until more recently?
Well, Shepherd's music suffered in two different ways. First of all, I should make the point that we do not have any of Shepherd's music in his own autograph. That's quite normal for music of this period, unfortunately. And secondly, that people at this time did not sing from scores. They sang from a little part book, generally, which had their own voice part only. And of course, it's very easy for one of those books to get lost. Shepherd's music does survive because John Baldwin in the 1580s obviously loved it and copied a lot of it into a set of part books. But the part book for the tenor baritone part was lost long ago. That meant that when an interest in Tudor church music was being put into the production of big library volumes in the 1920s, the Shepherd volume was one of the ones that was delayed for a long time because someone needed to reconstruct and discover that lost voice part. Mm. And by the time the editors had nearly finished doing that, the money for Tudor church music ran out, so the volume wasn't published. So, in fact, most of Shepherd's music wasn't published until the 1970s, and the last bit of it is yet to come out. It's on its way, I believe.
Well, we'll talk a bit more in a moment about your connection with Shepherd, but I think we ought to hear some more music now. Now, as we heard, you came to Shepherd partly through performing him. So I think we should hear an example of one of those very early recordings that you sang with the Clarks when you were at Oxford. This is part of Shepherd's Verbum Caro, recorded in 1974. Part of Shepherd's Verbum Caro, performed by the Clarks of Oxenford, directed by David Woolston, from a recording made back in 1974. Sally Dunkley, you were singing in that recording. Do you think it stood the test of time?
I think what it did was put Shepherd's music on a much wider map and introduce it to a much wider public. There was inspirational music making, and of course, now there are so many ensembles who love singing this music and who have specialised in making perhaps a more sophisticated sound. But that recording has perhaps stood the test of time in that it was reissued along with Talis's Speminalium from the previous year by EMI not so long ago.
OK, so what do we know about Shepherd's life? I get the feeling not much.
Well, not as much as we would like to. Unfortunately, we don't have a date of birth for him. We surmise that he might have been born around 1515. What we do know is that he was appointed as choir director at Magdalen College, Oxford, towards the end of the reign of Henry VIII, and that later on in the 1540s, he became a member of the Chapel Royal. That's the monarch's own musical establishment. It's an establishment, not a building. They moved around following the monarch. And that after that, he continued some association with Magdalen College, Oxford. And we know that he died in Westminster at the end of 1558, just a few weeks after Mary Tudor and before the coronation of Elizabeth I the following month. At that time, there was a big flu epidemic in Westminster, and it's very possible that he was a victim of it. He wrote his will about 3 weeks before he died.
Gosh, well, that, of course, was a very turbulent time. I mean, he must have felt as if there were so many comings and goings in terms of rules and regulations in the church, depending on who was in charge. Tell us a little about that and perhaps how it affected his music.
Well, like Talis, at much the same time, Shepherd would have found himself writing Latin-texted polyphony for the church during the reign of Henry VIII. Then 6 years of Edward VI, Protestant king, composers were then required to set English texts, and in a much more straightforward, restrained, syllabic musical idiom, quite different. And then there was Mary Tudor, and the law of the land went back to Catholic ritual. And it was probably during the reign of Mary that Shepherd wrote much of the music that we particularly enjoy singing nowadays.
And of course, it wasn't just the text that changed, say, from Latin to English, I suppose, to these between Protestant and or Church of England and Catholic, but it also was it the style of the music as well, the actual music itself? Were different styles required?
Yes, there are things that change within the style. A lot of the Latin music has plain chant somewhere embedded in the texture, which causes a particular way of musical writing. Whereas the English-texted pieces, the Edwardian small anthems, you can hear the words. The Edwardian reformers were very concerned that people should be able to hear exactly what the text was about in English.
Well, in this next sequence, we're going to hear two works. Secondly comes Shepherd's wonderful setting of the Magnificat, but first of all, we're going to hear his setting of the Lord's Prayer.
Thank you.
a setting of the Magnificat by the Tudor composer John Shepherd, performed there by the choir of Westminster Abbey, directed by James O'Donnell. And before that, we heard Stile Antico in Shepherd's setting of The Lord's Prayer. With me in the studio today is the singer Sally Dunkley, who made a study of the music of John Shepherd. We've just heard the wonderful Westminster Abbey choir, which of course includes boys as well as men.
Yes, indeed. Shepherd himself, in his work at Magdalen College, Oxford, was in charge of training the boys. And all the music that we're hearing today was certainly written for boys and men. Women being allowed to sing this music, I'm very glad to say we are now allowed to sing it in a concert setting. And that's obviously a completely different approach, a different sound.
One of the things you've been doing, as we've already heard, in order to bring Shepherd sort of out from the shadows and to encourage more performances of his music, is to edit his scores yourself. I mean, is this as an ongoing job? Well, is there so much music that's going to keep you busy for many years?
Yes, indeed. And I'm looking forward to one day having more time to do that. But yes, over my lifetime, I've made dozens and dozens of practical performing editions for concert projects and for recording projects. And I really very much enjoy doing that. There's always something to learn from looking at the sources, the manuscripts that we have, reading them, deciding and identifying if there's an error, adding accidentals that were not written
at
this
time. For that, of course, we mean things like sharps and flats.
Sharps and flats, yes.
Well, we've just heard two pieces from the Church of England service, so to speak, in English. The next piece by Shepherd was, in fact, written for the Catholic service, wasn't it?
Yes, Shepherd's Cantate Mass is a wonderful example of the English festal mass written surely for a big occasion on a big scale during the reign of Mary Tudor, certainly. The name Cantate almost certainly refers to some existing, pre-existing psalm reference that you hear from time to time in the baritone part. But listening to this piece, perhaps what one notices most is the big range from top to bottom of the ensemble, three octaves and one note, which is an English speciality at this period. It's a wonderful sonority.
Wonderful. And we're just going to hear part of it, the Agnus Dei.
Thank you.
setting of the Agnus Dei from John Shepherd's Cantate Mass, performed there by the Gabrielli Consort, directed by Paul McCreesh. Well, our next piece by Shepherd is a short one, and I think it's a sort of companion to the first piece we had at the beginning of the programme, Sally, isn't it? Which, because it's also called Libera Nos.
It's a setting of the same text, the text, Set Us Free, Save Us, O Blessed Trinity. And this Latin text was listed in the statutes of Magdalen College, Oxford, as a text that should be said every night. That is not unique to Magdalen College, but surely Shepherd must have written those settings for Magdalen.
Another setting of Libera Nos by John Shepherd. The singers were the 16, directed by Harry Christophers. Well, Sally, we've just got time for one more of Shepherd's works, and this one is a major work running for more than 20 minutes. It's going to take us to the end of the show today. What are we going to hear?
We're going to hear Media Vita, which is surely one of the most substantial pieces of the time, with, I think, hugely powerful cumulative effect. It's as long as it is because a relatively short text has a lot of repeats. So what this is, in the centre of the piece is the Nunc Dimittis, which is chanted, plain chant, and this is surrounded by these huge sections of six-part polyphony, which have the plain chant in the baritone part going along all the time. This text was proper to Compline in Lent. The text is, in the midst of life, we are in death, a universal truth now as then. And this is such a large piece. I think it invites us to sit down in a spirit of contemplation of that universal truth.
It is a very challenging piece, isn't it?
Yes, it requires real stamina, but it also requires a sense of direction about those repeats, which is certainly challenging. But I was very fortunate about 3 or 4 years ago to sing it in a whole series of concerts with the 16 and Harry Christophers. During the course of the year, I think we must have sung it to about 10,000 people in the UK, which was tremendously exciting. And it was wonderful to see the audience reaction, that people did settle into it. And I think it takes your breath away.
And the Talis Scholars, in fact, made the first recording, didn't they?
That's right,
1989, yes. Which you sang on.
I did, yes. I'm on the second line, as
very
usual.
Exciting.
Yes.
And it's that recording we're going to hear now to take us to the end of the programme. Sally Dunkley, many thanks for joining us today. And good luck with your continued work in making new editions of Shepherd's Music and, of course, enjoying singing it too. So for our final piece today, here are the Talis Scholars, directed by Peter Phillips, with Media Vita by John Shepherd.